to spend the last bit of time that we have just to briefly go over leadership development in general. And in so doing, I can give a bit more information about how the ASA and CSCA, although they do it a tad different, but we work very collaboratively between the two organizations. I say, as the director of chapters and affiliates, that I am essentially the liaison between the home office and what's happening out regionally and in the disciplines with the affiliates. So it's structurally that I provide the resources for doing what you want to do. What's actually happening, though, is in those leadership teams that you would be doing it at the individual chapters. So you have a lot of autonomy in what you want to do. There are some structures in place that we have to follow just because we are a nonprofit and we have our bylaws and so forth. But what I can do is offer the assistance in moving forward to get a chapter going and then to keep a chapter running smoothly. So I'll go briefly over just some tips of leadership development for anyone who has worked in this space. It's the fostering the relationships, it's building trust, it's having that sense of community and working together towards a common goal. And I think that that is what ASA is really good at. If you haven't felt that these last few days, it's even the breaking bread together as sisters and brothers in Christ. Exploring as a team. I think just by virtue of working towards bringing in a speaker, or putting on a big conference like this, you learn to who your teammates are, learn a bit about them even personally, which when you've done that, that's where you're building the trust. The opportunities to cultivate leaders. For the chapters, we are giving as many resources as possible. And obviously when you talk resources, sometimes those are limited, whether it be money resources or people resources or staff time, but we really have built a team as an organization that is cross-functional, that and very powerful because we are complementary in the skill set that we have. So if I don't know how to do something, someone on the ASA staff team knows how to do, or those who are out in the regions know how to do, and we know how to tap into those opportunities. Offering sensitivity towards others. I think this is a really big one for the ASA because there are a lot of ideas. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, but we have different ideas and belief systems and positions on things. So that sensitivity comes in play when we are building the trust and getting to know one another, which again, at opportunities like this at an annual meeting where we are in face-to-face in 3D instead of 2D, provides a better opportunity to do that. So it's respecting everyone in the group so that everyone is heard, because we do come from different experiences, different challenges in life. And so it's part of that empathy of taking ourselves out of our own comfort zone to listen to what the other person is really saying. So it's listening skills. And then just approaching a change of openness. I often pray before having an interaction with an individual, lead me in the direction of really hearing what the individual is saying. And an openness, an open heart and an open mind when we are engaging with others. Accountability, this is really what the staff, ASA staff is works towards, is having that accountability through standard operating procedures, having the everything on paper, we have a handbook, there are rules and regulations to follow just so that we can have some consistency among the chapters. So there's autonomy, but because we do have this accountability, there are things that we have to put into play. And I think that that is one of the roles that I play, is just making sure that things are running smoothly. So we give a chance to understand what might be a good way to do things, but then the handbook allows us to keep that accountability in play. And then just working towards the mission. you know, for anyone who has worked in nonprofit or other organizations, you can get this mission drift. And so it's keeping our eyes where it needs to be by spending time talking about those items. And then offering hope, which, like I mentioned, what Julie was saying, not to get discouraged. You know, working with volunteers can be a tremendous hard thing to do because they're busy. And, you know, when you have a meeting and you only have to, you put a lot of effort into it and get just a few people into the room, I actually try to look at the bright side of that and be uplifted that, oh, wow, we've got two people. I'm so excited. Now I can be more intimate because we've got a smaller group. So it's all how you, you know, we tell our kids this. It's all how you approach things in life. And so having a positive attitude, even if you didn't get a huge group showing up or leaders that are stepping up, and then just keep that encouragement going. And then inspiring others by doing that, having a positive attitude. And ultimately, I believe that it is walking in Christ. I think if we keep our eyes on Christ, then that hope flows out of doing so. All right, to talk a little bit about the structure aspect of this, it is fairly easy to get to the resources that you need for a chapter leader. It's right on our website under chapters, and you go down to the chapter resource documents, and then we have our Zoom meeting request form. If anyone is interested in using our Zoom account for providing a seminar. And in so doing, you would get an IT person. It might be myself or Becky. Sometimes Mark will be the IT person. There are introduction slides. We try and do, as an organization, we are working towards doing branding in our marketing, which means having a consistent look in things. And so we do have meeting introduction slides that you could use at your seminars so that we have this consistent look. It's just part of the marketing strategy. We don't use this as much. We do have a Zoom run sheet. When we first pivoted to do all of our meetings online, Mark did a wonderful job of laying out in an Excel spreadsheet who's to do what by when as far as who turns on the camera. And so that run sheet really became kind of our rule book on how to go through a meeting. And because we've all gotten familiar with Zoom, I think for smaller meetings we're not using this. I suspect that Mark for this meeting is using some type of a run sheet. But it's helpful and it's there if you need it. If you only have one speaker, it's not as necessary to do it. But I've even adopted what he put together in my other, and wear several hats, and I've adopted what he does in the other aspects of my career. The chapter Zoom guidebook. I have a couple of copies of this. If you're interested, you're welcome to take a printed version, but there is an electronic version there. And again, this is our standard operating procedure. This is the SOP. This has the nitty-gritty on the operation of a chapter. And if getting it in print is more daunting for you and you would like just to have a conversation, I'm more than welcome to do that, to run through this with you. The Zoom guidebook, this is the chapter handbook. The Zoom guidebook gives you some opportunity to look at how do we use the Zoom. And those are some of the resource documents. This map here is on our website, and it shows where the individual chapters are for both in Canada and for the U.S. All right, so the chapters and affiliates are really a work in progress. So we have about 10 minutes left, and the intent was to leave a little bit of time just to talk about in a group who might be interested in starting a chapter up, or what ideas are there. And if the hope was to have some regional groups kind of organically come together. At the last face-to-face meeting in Wheaton, we had a number of people in the audience that were from the same region and started up a chapter. And so offer that same thing. I want to also mention that in addition to the chapters, the difference between the chapters and the affiliates is that the chapters are regionally based, and the members are actual members of ASA. The affiliate groups are based on discipline, and the individuals who work within that organization of an affiliate do not have to be a member of ASA. So it gives a little more flexibility. So that's the difference between the two. We have the chapter handbook ready to go. The affiliate handbook is in process right now of development, but it will look very similar to the handbook for the chapters. It just will, those differentiation between the two types of organizations will be delineated in the affiliate chapter book. So I will open it up for questions. How are you sensing?
Yes, yes. Question. One of the things we step over in my world is the coordination between what we do as a local chapter and what, especially electronically, and what you guys are doing from the national office electronically.
Right.
So, how do I find out? I know that like the third Saturday in January, something like that, is going to be Winter Symposium, so that's on my calendar, but there's brown bags. Mm-hmm. I know every Saturday, every month,
the rain does, the diving deep breath.
That's second I know Saturday. I know that, and I know the Winter Symposium. So I guess I'm asking about the brown bags. Is there a schedule for those so that I can put something local on the same week that the brown bag is?
Yeah, that's a great question. The intent for the brown baggers is to do it quarterly. And it has been typically on a Wednesday mid-month. Yeah. And the brown bag usually happens in the late afternoon Eastern time, so then it would be...
It's like noon. It's like noon for me.
Yeah.
I know that, but
yeah.
I don't know when.
Right.
Are they set up for the...
We do not have those set up yet, going forward. So, yeah.
When
we reconvene after this meeting, we probably will start doing that.
And I imagine that's important to other chapter leaders too. So
yeah, that's a good point.
Put your chapter notes as soon as you can.
Yeah, I think that as we were leading up to this meeting, there was some limitations in just staff time and getting those. So I don't think we launched the last one that we were expecting to do, but we've had such a great, overwhelming positive response to those that I think we are going to move forward with having those regularly.
Yeah,
Brian.
What's the rationale behind the discipline-based affiliate groups not being ASA members?
Because the affiliate groups have struggled to keep leadership in play. And so that's primarily why, to broaden the resources that the affiliates can have at their disposal. For example, there are professionals in the geology group that want to participate, but say, we're not interested in being an ASA member. So the leadership team needs to be an ASA member. But as far as the individuals who are participating, they have connections with other professional societies. And I think that's where the difference is for the affiliates versus the chapters. Yeah, that they professionally, are putting their resources into dues, basically, into other professional societies. So it's an opportunity to bring in other professional societies into an affiliate group based on discipline.
And historically, have any of the affiliate groups had dues that went directly to that?
Yes. Yes, and that's the other thing that's different between the chapters and the affiliates, is the affiliates have the opportunity to have additional dues. So structurally, there's a difference there. With the chapters, there aren't chapter dues. If you sign up as an ASA member, you can select as many chapters as you want to be in. And then the affiliates have, if they decide to do so, tack on some money if they need some revenue coming in for doing their outreach events.
The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, and the schedule is really packed.
Yeah.
So, any thoughts? We're in the Portland, Oregon area, and there isn't a chapter there, and we represent two Christian colleges in the area. We also have several seminaries. I mean, there's...
George Fox is not that far away, either.
They're not that far away, but advice, like, how do you know, like, am I called to this tour? Or, I guess, Yes.
Yeah, I hear you. How do you weigh that?
Right.
I hear you. Go ahead.
I think I would just say, you know, it's not like you have to like sign a form that says, I will now for the next 10 years be a shop leader and I will do all of this amazing work. But I think you should just, I mean, you two are having active throughout this whole meeting and very keen and interested. You probably have the energy, I think, to hold like one event sometime in the next half a year.
Right.
And, you know, I don't know if you have to form a chapter to hold an event. I mean, you can, you don't need the ASA's permission to hold an event. I mean, you could just say, here's a sort of a trial pilot event. I mean, you don't have to call it a pilot. Say, we went to this conference. Here, why don't you all watch a couple of the plenaries which are online. Let's have a conversation about that.
Okay.
And invite your students to come and invite, and then maybe other contacts, maybe other science people that you know in the area, harvest the list. Maybe there are some other members in the Portland area, and encourage them to show up and do something and see what emerges out of that.
Right. You're essentially just amplifying the voice, and by giving it a structure, by calling it a chapter, it gives you that structure to do that amplifying of the mission. I am president of the Ohio chapter, and I have been struggling to have leadership. So we were holding two events a year, a spring and a fall, and we backed that off to just once a year. So the time investment is pretty minimal. What we struggle with is that we don't have anyone at a university. So being at a university is a huge aspect to this because you have a room that you can, you know, that you typically don't have to pay for. We just don't have that. So, you know, it's identifying, okay, do you want to be a leader? You fill out this form. And then actually a lot of the work comes on the back end from the ASA office because I need to do a lot in the YM. What the chapter would be doing as a leader is holding the event. And then you do it under the auspice of this new chapter that's getting launched. So it actually is not much to launch it. His student chapters are a little harder because you have student leaders.
Yeah, and
who come and go.
And so I would tag on because you'll need a student leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing a student chapter.
What I would maybe recommend, not unlike what was said, try one event, plan for one event in the semester. If you can work in a little bit of extra credit, if that's allowed, make it something so like our students are really health science biology focused. And so start with something on origins, which you know they'll probably want to go to. And then, you know, don't do the chapter first, just hold the event. Have a sign up sheet. QR codes are fantastic. If you can make one and they put in their name and their email to get their extra credit, then you have it in the spreadsheet. And key, because there might be students that will come out of that. There will likely be students. You can give a plug. Say, we're thinking about doing this regularly. There's this organization that knows how to do this regularly. If you're interested in getting involved with this, check this box. And I would say, you know, who knows if you'll get them or not, but if you do, then you have some student leaders to be here.
A related question. If, say, we just do kind of a pilot event or two, are there resources from ASA that we can tap into for that, even if that's not a
gap? That's really what we do, yeah. I mean, we have possible speakers who can join me through Zoom, and we know some people.
Yeah. Yes. We just moved to Purdue just 5 months ago, and there's nothing in Indiana.
Yes.
But I'd like to, I've got a full schedule of semester and all that too, but yeah. I'd like to kind of feel out the spiritual, what organizations are there and how that fit in and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and if there's already a science and faith student organization, sometimes that's how you can tap
yeah.
into it. You know, even in our varsity, you can get leaders from that organization.
Yeah. Especially, Roger, if you're new to an area, data can help you tap into the database
yeah.
and find other ASA members
yeah.
in
the area. Anybody can do that. Any member of ASA can go to
yeah,
the super directory.
Yeah.
Like, I just found there's 25 members in Oregon.
Yeah.
They're all like waiting for somebody to
leave. Thank you, Arnold.
They're all in the same place, but there's a bunch in Portland, McMinnville, Tillamook, that's going to get a bit far. But.
And now that it can be done through Zoom, I mean, it's such a powerful tool. And so maybe you do one meeting a year that's local and in person, but the rest you connect through. Yes.
It was just a comment in terms of diversity and flexibility. I think the chapters are a little different. You probably talked about this already. But our Hamilton group actually, it's been around about 20 years or so, so it preceded the whole chapter thing. So I've got and typically we've done one event a month in person, etc. But I've actually got we've actually just had a planning committee meeting prior to this. So I've got, you know, four or five people. And what I try and do, I try and call myself a coordinator or facilitator. In other words, I'm not going to do all the work. So, you know, I decide, okay, you're doing an October event, you're doing this or whatever. Yeah. So, and certainly, I wasn't sure about sort of that requirement to be a member, but certainly we welcome anybody and everybody. And, you know, in some ways it can be a bit of an evangelistic tool as well, is the way I look at it. But it is definitely challenging because, secular university, we only, the connection we have is an emeritus professor, so that's, you know, tricky. And then our third ongoing issue, which maybe you talk about, is the student recruitment. So yeah, we make all those contacts, but you know, we'll get a few students depending on the topic, but then they don't. So yeah, we don't have that solid Christian. There is a Christian university in the area that, again, we've got some contacts and connections there, but that's been like the biggest struggle. But then again, you know, if it's mostly retired people coming, that's okay too. You know, so that just you go with, yeah. And if there's only three that come, no. I work on my attitude.
That's right.
and have lots of refreshments left over.
So thank you for your participation. If you want more additional information or even a copy of the planning sheet as well as the actual application, which is just a one-pager, it's fairly easy to fill out. And we'll get a new chapter started. Yeah, come up and see me. And thank you for your participation today.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.